Good morning. Welcome this morning. This week was a little bit of a milestone for us this year. We celebrated a holiday, and we, in that holiday, we call it Thanksgiving, but sometimes we feels like Thanksgiving might be the afterthought. Turkey Day is the day that we celebrate, or something like that. But I'd like to, for myself, I'd like to make the food the afterthought and the attitude of thankfulness the primary focus. For today, there is a story I'd like to read. It's a Bible story, and it's a story or a tale of two boys, two men. If you would turn to Genesis 25, there's two men here that influenced history, whether we realize it or not. These two men influence history, and to some degree, their choices affected world events and impacted our current culture. Impacted our current culture. Both of these boys were raised in the same house by the same parents. As far as we know, there was no other children in the family. So they were only children, or they just had one brother, each of them. Jacob and Esau. What comes to your mind when you think of those names, Jacob and Esau? Anybody? What do you think of?
Trickery.
Okay. Anything else?
Pot of soup.
Pot of soup.
Favorites.
Anything else? Okay. Scheming. All right. So that's all good. That's all right. Let's read Genesis 25, verse 20. We'll start at verse 21. I hope it doesn't take too long here, because there's quite a bit of verses here on this. But we'll start Genesis 25, 21. It's the birth of Esau and Jacob. It says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him." How old is 80 years?
60.
So Isaac was 60 years old. "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and Rebekah." Excuse me, that was actually not in the thing there. That was a chapter later. But Esau despised his birthright. in Hebrews 12:16, it says that Esau was a profane person. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. So, these men, these boys, these twins, when they were born, there was a struggle there, even before they were born. Rebekah was told, when she went to ask God about why there was such a struggle in there, she said, she was told there was two nations in there. God told her there was two nations. There was going to be important events surrounding these boys. The natural order would be upset, because normally the oldest one has the preeminence, and then the younger one is servant to the older one. And the birthright gave the oldest one the option to, or gave him, he was to be the leader of the family. He was to take, I didn't look this up real close, but I think it was twice the inheritance that the others got, I think. But he was the firstborn, and he had the birthright. But God said that the natural order was going to be upset. The younger one, in this case, would be in authority over the older. And so when Esau came out, they had this tiny little baby here, and he was a red, ugly baby, right? He's a red baby with hair all over him. And they called him Esau, which means hairy or red. And Jacob comes out, and he just, that little thing, a little fist grabs out and holds on to the heel of his brother and hangs on. And they said, look at that. So they called him Jacob. And that means heel catcher or supplanter. And it fit. Esau was a hairy man all the way through. He grew up to be a hairy man. And Jacob was the younger brother that comes along, and he's just trying to get, just weasel here and weasel there and line things up here and swing things in his favor. But he was a plain man. He was unassuming, but he had a way about him. Jacob had a way about him. And Esau had a way about him too. He was just less sly about it. So the selling of the birthright, these boys grew. As the boys grew, it says that Esau was a cunning hunter. He was a man of the field. Can you think of anybody else that was a man of the field? One of his ancestors? Cain. I'd never thought about this, but Jacob and Esau and Cain and Abel, there is a tremendous amount of similarities there. Which is a side note, but Esau was a cunning hunter. He was a man of the field. Esau was used to depending on his wits. As a man of the field, he goes out and he was used to depending on his wits. He was more aggressive. He'd go out and he'd try different things. He'd leave home and he'd go out in the field and he made his living in the field, growing things. That's a man of the field would give the option or the give the thought of. He worked with plants. He grew things, possibly more in tune with nature, with the ground, growing things out, leave home, try new things. He was that kind of person. It says Jacob was a plain man and dwelt in tents. That thought, and this came from the plain man. He was unassuming. He stayed at home. He was unassuming. Jacob provided his living more through animal breeding and raising livestock. He just stayed around home and wasn't really an aggressive type of person. But that's the two nature, that's the two temperaments of these boys. They were twins, and both of them were selfish. And I had to wonder, what is the opposite of thankfulness? Have you ever thought about what the opposite of thankfulness is? Black Friday shopping. Okay. So you go Black Friday shopping to do what? to buy stuff for me or to buy, well, you might buy it for somebody else, but it's, I don't know. There's probably more than one answer to this, but one opposite of thankfulness is selfishness, or it's about me, or it's greed. And both of these boys had that selfish trait there. Esau, he was selfish. It was about me. When he went out, hunting, and he came in, and he was terribly hungry, which hunters know what it feels like, I think, at least if they don't take their food with them when they're in the blind. They know what it feels like when they're stomping around out in the woods, and they come in, they're terribly hungry, can be. And Esau was that way. He was very hungry, but he wasn't real, he was just not very sly. This was right over the time that Abraham had died too, and I'm not sure what all this had to do with it, but some people say that lentils, this pot of lentils, was food that they would typically serve for mourning, like if they were mourning for somebody. So I don't know if there was in that period of after Abraham had died or not. But Jacob had at least made this pot of lentils soup. And Esau was terribly hungry, and all he could think of was about this far. That's all he could think of was the need right now. And he just knew he was going to die if he did not get some food. And, of course, Jacob had this bubbling and smelling good, and that made Esau even more sure he was going to die. And Jacob, he's sly about life, and he sneaks in there. He says, when Esau comes in and he's rough and, "I need some food." And Jacob said, "Well, I'll give you some if you sell me your birthright." And of course, Esau said, "Well, what good is a birthright going to do if I'm going to die anyway? So yeah, give me it. I'll sell it to you." And Jacob said, "Well, sell it. You have to promise, or you have to, we'll sign this contract real quick." So they did, and they got it over with, and he gave him his food. So Jacob was selfish too. Esau was selfish in that all he could think of was my need right now. Jacob was selfish in that he looked longer out. He looked farther out, but he still was trying to line up the chips to make it, to make his life, to order his life and give him the benefit, even though he was the younger one. And probably growing up, he was always the junior, always the junior. But selfishness never helps to build relationships. Jacob and Esau, I don't know what their relationship was like before this, but after this, it seems to have deteriorated. But selfishness never helps to build relationships in my family, in your family, in church, in government deals, in business relationships. Selfishness never helps to build relationships. So Hebrews 12:16 says, it calls Esau a profane person. It says, the verse before this says, I didn't write that one down, but it's something about let's not fail of the grace of God. Don't be like Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. In other words, he threw his birthright away for one meal. He looked for the near need and sacrificed a great treasure that he had to fulfill the need right now. And sometimes we can do the same kind of thing. We can throw away our great treasure or our birthright by sacrificing principles to get ourselves out of a jam. Or, for example, feel like we're back into a corner, and we can sacrifice principle of integrity or a principle of honesty by lying or cheating to get out of this jam. It's the same principle that Esau did by sacrificing a great treasure that he had to get himself out of a jam, a short-term jam. Tasting the world's soup is another just a generic way of tasting what the world has to offer. That's a way of throwing away our treasure or our birthright. So we can do the same type of thing, and that's what it's talking about in Hebrews, where it says a failing of the grace of God is sacrificing principles to get out of a short-term jam or out of a jam that we find ourselves in. And Esau did that, but he did that because of his he was a profane person, and profane simply means he was not religious, he was not God conscious, he was not he just was not in tune with what God wanted for his life. He was tone deaf. And Jacob, on the other hand, was spiritually aware, or at least later he was, but both of them were selfish. They came at it from different ways, but both were selfish. So Esau's marriage to the two Canaanite women at age 40, I don't know what possessed him to do that, because he knew how his parents felt about that, but he went and married two Canaanite women. It was... Judith was the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And one of those sons that was born from one of these marriages, I'm not sure which one, that son's name was Amalek. And Amalek was the father of the Amalekites. And the Amalekites were a thorn in Israel's side for years and years and years, all the way down to Haman. Haman, in the story of Queen Esther, he was the Agagite, and Agag was an Amalekite. And that went on and on and on as a terrible thorn in the side of Israel's existence, or the Jewish existence even. They were just out to get him. But that was a result of that marriage to that Canaanite woman, one of them. Those women were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah, and they were a grief of mind to Jacob's descendants as well. So moving on, let's go to Genesis 27, and we'll read that chapter here. And this is robbing of the blessing, I call it. It says, and it came to pass, in Genesis 27, verse 1, that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son, and he said to him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. I'm going to stop here. How many of you caught, how old do you think Isaac was at this time? He was at least 100, because he was 60 years old when these boys were born, and Esau was 40 when he got married, and it was sometime after this that this blessing came along. So he was at least 100 years old. He was probably older than that, but somewhere. Rebekah heard, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. His mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. So she made gloves and put something around his neck to make him all hairy. She gave the savory meat and the bread which she prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? Just making sure one more time. And he said, I am. He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed? And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? Supplanter, for he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said to his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Esau wasn't very sly about it. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived of also of both of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And then just going on, it says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and sent him away. And sent Jacob away to live in Padan Aram with Laban. So Jacob had, at his mother's prompting, went in and complied with the scheme and got Isaac to believe him. And Isaac, it seems, had smelled something fishy there, because three or four times, he kept doing little tests to check. He felt his arms. He had him come and kiss him, and then he smelled his clothes, and he was wearing Esau's best clothes, and he smelled like Esau, and he felt like Esau, but he sounded like Jacob, and Isaac was just not sure about this, and yet it all sounded good, it sounded right, he went ahead and did it. So, and Jacob got the blessing, and I don't know how to feel about this exactly. You know, on the one hand, Jacob used deceit and trickery to get that. On the other hand, when Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob because of a whim there, I don't know how Isaac would have looked at that, if Isaac would have honored that promise that Esau made or not. Because Esau was Isaac's favorite son. And Isaac was the one giving the blessing. But Esau made a promise. And God places a high premium on honoring a promise. So would Isaac have accepted that or not? I don't know. Some feel that they were fairly young when this was done. And I don't know where this came from, around 15 to 20 years old they would have been. And at the time of the blessing, they were between 40 and 60 years old. So there was a long time in there. But Esau remembered it. Esau remembered that Jacob had got the birthright from him years ago. And so God, because God is one to honor a promise, I believe God let this go through in this way. And Isaac, whether he was willing or not, did put that blessing on Jacob. And indirectly, it made Esau honor his promise, whether he would have or not. But Esau was not a godly man, and so he was not really one to honor a promise on his own. But God does place a high premium on honoring promises. So this trickery then resulted in Esau threatening to kill Jacob, because he said, twice Jacob has taken, he took my birthright and he took my blessing. So then Jacob had to leave home, and on his journey he had that vision from God. That's the record that we have, that Jacob was spiritually aware. God talked to him in a vision there when the ladder was going up and down and promised to bring him back to his home. Jacob went over to Laban. He meets his future wives and his father-in-law. He works for Laban there. He acquires his family and his own livestock herd. Of course, his experience that he had stands him in good stead here. But Jacob seems to have found his match, because Laban is a trickster too. And Jacob finds himself on the receiving end of a few nasty surprises. One of them is he had offered to work for Laban for 7 years for Rachel. That was the girl that he loved and the girl he wanted to marry. And so Laban got 7 years of work out of him, and then they had a wedding. And after the wedding and the vows were all said, when they took the veil off, he found it was Leah. and he did not like Leah, but he was tricked. 7 years down in his mind, 7 years just wasted. And so Laban says, well, if you work for me for 7 more years, you can have Rachel too. So he got 7 more years out of him. And then he got Rachel. Then Laban offers him wages, and he cheats him wherever he can. Just little things here and there. So Jacob, he says, all right. Well, Laban says, let's separate. Jacob says, let's separate the herds. And he told Laban he can have the solid colored ones, the presumably more valuable animals. And Jacob will take the ring-streaked ones, the ones with spots on them. Those are the ones that Jacob will take. So they separate the herd that way. But then Jacob goes and puts he peels saplings and makes striped saplings, and he puts it in front of the water troughs of the cows or sheep that are expecting. And then when they look at that, then it's supposed to make them have speckled or striped calves. And evidently it worked, because he did that in all the strong cows, and on the weak ones he didn't do it. So gradually he would get strong calves or lambs, and Laban would get all the weak ones. And it seemed to work, because Jacob's herd got better and better and Laban's didn't. So they were just always at it, just deceiving and tricking and trying to get the best for themselves. It's still that spirit of supplanting, or spirit of selfishness. So Jacob leaves Laban then after 14 plus years. He had acquired a large family and herd, and he's headed out, and he has the meeting with Laban, and he's headed out just going back home. And he hears that Esau is coming. And he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if Esau's coming in peace or with evil intentions. He sends messengers there, and he finds out Esau's coming with 400 men. And 400 men against his herd of, you know, young children and against his herd of livestock and young children and family. How is he going to survive under an army, a small army? So he assumes that the end is near or close to it. And I don't know how that was for Jacob. If his life goes before his eyes or not. But he went and divided up his herd. He divided up in different flocks. They crossed the brook. He sends his wife and children across the brook. And he's over there by himself. And all night, Jacob is wrestling with an unknown man. All night, on and on and on and on. And nobody really gets the upper hand. It's like an evenly matched, almost evenly matched. Jacob can't overpower him. The man can't overpower him. It's just on and on and on and on. And finally, in the morning, his thigh gets put out of joint. This angel puts his thigh out of joint, and he can't wrestle anymore. So he just holds on. And the angel says, let me go, it's getting morning. And Jacob says, no, I will not let you go until you bless me. So then the angel says, well, what's your name? And I don't know, his name was Supplanter, Jacob. And the angel says, now your name is Israel, which means God prevails. See, all of Jacob's life, he was a fighter, whether he was aggressive at it or not. He was always in the background trying to line his life up, line things up for him, for his own benefit. And always he was supplanting this person and pushing this one down and pushing down here and pushing here and lifting himself up and trying to go. That was his name, was Supplanter. And that was his reputation. That was his reputation was like that. But the angel said, no, now he put his thigh out of joint. He can't fight anymore. He can't wrestle. And so he has to give up. But now he changed his name to Israel, which means God prevails. And in that chapter there where he wrestles with him, the angel said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So it was after he was unable to fight, he had to give up, and he had to lay it. He was no longer able to walk correctly. That his name was changed, his reputation was changed. And he was now not Supplanter, he was a prince, or he was, his name was changed to God's power working in my life. And then the next morning, Jacob, it says he walked haltingly, which you would walk haltingly too if your thigh was out of joint. He had to limp. And the next day he met Esau, and he gave Esau a huge gift. It was 200 lambs and, well, let's just read it here. Genesis 33:1. We'll read that story here of when he met Esau. But it was after his wrestling, after he surrendered here, that he meets Esau. It says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children in the front, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph in the back. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground. So Jacob went in the very front, bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. So he is showing himself as a servant now instead of, yeah, even though he has the birthright. Until he came near to his brother, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. Notice how they all came and bowed themselves. They're all showing a servant or submission or respect to Esau. Leah also came with her children and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at thy hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And they had this little argument here. Esau wanted to go with him, and Jacob said, no, we don't need your help. It wouldn't work very good. And so Then Esau left and Jacob went on his way. And then, but after, it was after Esau, or after Jacob had surrendered to God, and he just, instead of trying to just get what he could out of Esau, treated him like, with respect and as a servant, treated him as his Lord, treated himself as the servant. You know, have we ever been in a similar position? We spend our life wrangling life to fit our agenda or trying to line things up so that we have the advantage. Or maybe we're wrestling with a problem that's bigger than we know what to do with. We're wrestling with self and not willing to give up ourself. We just can't lay it down. We know we should lay it down, but we can't lay it down. We know we should, but we can't. It's like wrestling, like Jacob did. You know what you should do, and you try to put it down, and you can't put it down. It's wrestling. And then surrender comes. When it comes, it takes a maiming or a crippling of that will to keep it from rising up. Surrender means giving up. It's no more fighting, resisting, or struggling against accepting God's will. And then with surrender, we can adopt the title, God Prevails. Because it's not us anymore. We're letting God's will work in our life. It was only after that that Jacob could make peace with Esau. And after that, his reputation changed from being a supplanter to being someone that God could work through. And after this, they're on speaking terms enough that when Isaac, their father, dies, they can come together and bury him. There was some, at the end there, I'm going to close with some verses in Genesis 35, 16 here. So Jacob here, there was some grief that he had to go through. And that was the death of Rachel and his dad. It says, they journeyed from Bethel, that's where they had went after they met Esau. They journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a no, I'm sorry. They journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is in Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, in verse 27, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac lived, or sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac is now 180, and this would have been 60 to 80 years after this blessing was taken. Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. So at the end here, they're again on speaking terms enough anyway to come together and bury him without anybody getting killed over it. And only after Jacob changed were they able to do that. And the thing I'd like to, the lesson that I see here, one of the lessons that I see is that selfishness does not build relationships, but surrender does. Giving up of my will and looking out for the good of my brother does. Let's kneel for prayer.